Imagine that. That was great. And the Lord did a lot of good things there this last week. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and open them up. We're going to be using our Bibles this morning. And I'd like to introduce to you a couple of young men that are friends of mine. We enjoy playing together once in a while. This is John Waterbrook. He's our fiddle player. And this is Eric Davis. He's our banjo player and our mandolin player. And John also plays the mandolin from time to time, and they may do a little switching up here today. We're going to sing some gospel music today, as it was originally intended to be played in several cases. And as we do so, I would like to draw out some beautiful Bible, at least they're beautiful to me, Bible teachings as we go along. The first one is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. I would like you to take a look at that verse, 1 John 1, verse 7. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, as a person who once lived completely immersed in the world, I can only begin to explain the difference that happens in a person's life when they turn to Jesus. Many people in the world, as they live their life day by day, are suffering. They have a lot of heartaches and hardships, and they don't know where to turn. And because the church and religion has been made to seem so ridiculous by the media and so irrelevant by Hollywood and so detached by some people who have been Christians, then people in the world have the overall impression that the church isn't relevant to their life. And that's a shame, because it is through the church that Jesus has often chosen to reveal Himself. And so in my life, as I was going through my young life, I also experienced the pain and the suffering and the anger and the bitterness. And in Isaiah chapter 48, the very last verse of that chapter, it says, there is no rest for the wicked. When we are following a life of sin, however small or large it may be, there is no peace there. You try to hide it, people try to medicate it, they try to ignore it, but it is still there. And in your quiet moments, you feel that lack in your heart and the pain that comes from that separation from God. So I remember, as I mentioned to you before, when I went by my bedside that night, and in the best words that I knew how to say, I said, I want to live life your way. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. And I want to go where you want me to go. I didn't know how else to say it. But God saw my heart, and He knew that I didn't want to follow a life of sin anymore. I wanted to follow a life of Jesus and peace and forgiveness and to be repaired, to be fixed. I didn't want to be broken. And Jesus came into my life that day. And there is another old gospel song that maybe we'll have you come back and we'll sing sometime. It says, I can tell you of the time, and I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. And in my case, it was a little home near Eugene in a community called Cheshire, Oregon. And in that little community, there was a home that we were living in while I was going to high school. And I could take you to that place, and I could show you that that is where Jesus came into my life. And when Jesus came into my life, there literally was a change that went from the top of my head all the way through my body. And I felt the anger and I felt the bitterness wash out of my body. And it was replaced with joy and love and peace that He has renewed in my heart day after day. And so even though this is a song that you're very well familiar with, it would be almost a sin to have a banjo in church and not sing Power in the Blood. So we're going to sing this song, Power in the Blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Thank you. is so true. There is power in the blood. In my mind, I go back and I think of people that I have known and who came to Jesus, and they had been here and there, and they had tried this and that, and they just couldn't seem to make progress in their life. But when they surrendered their life to Jesus, I can remember people whose homes were falling apart. There was the Latin man, the Spanish man, who didn't speak any English. He had newly come into the country. And shortly after coming into the country, he couldn't handle the stress and the pressure, and he left his wife and his children early on Sabbath morning. He was a Seventh-day Adventist Christian who had come with his family into the country. He wasn't able to find work. He was frustrated. He just felt like everything was falling apart. And in his frustration, he left where he was at and started heading north through Oregon. And along the way, it got to be time for church. And so here's this man running away from home, literally from his home, from his wife and children. And he knows it's about 11 o'clock, and he's passing by our Seventh-day Adventist church that was located on the highway. And he said, "I really should be in church." So, you know, the conflict that goes on in the heart. He knows he's doing something he shouldn't be doing, and yet he feels drawn to God. And in the middle of that conflict, something helped him to pull into our parking lot, and he comes into the church, and he comes, sits in the church, he knows it's an English church, and he can't understand a word of English. And God worked a miracle that day. Because when I made the appeal for people to give their life to Christ that day, he came forward to receive Christ as his Savior. And he told us through an interpreter who was also coming to the altar that day, she heard him praying in Spanish. She understood Spanish, so she began to speak to him. He told her the story that he heard every word that was spoken in the sermon that day in his own language. And I don't speak Spanish that well. So I know that a miracle was done that day. He gave his life to the Lord, and we stayed there with him for quite some time. He surrendered his life anew to Jesus. And through the interpreter, he said, "Pastor, I'm going back home." He said, "I need to make things right with my wife. I need to take care of my children. I don't know what the future holds," he said, "but I know that I can't go into the future without Jesus." All right? Are we having a problem with our PowerPoint? There we go. Okay. "I've been redeemed." You know, this is a great song. And this verse that we have here on the screen, it's a tremendous thought when you realize it. "Knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You were not redeemed with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." When you stop to think about what it took for your salvation, then if you were terribly in debt, let's say thousands upon thousands and thousands of dollars in debt, and you didn't have the money to pay it back, and some gracious benefactor steps forward to pay your debts, to liquidate your debts, and to put you on solid ground again, I imagine if that happened to any of us here, we would be forever grateful, would we not? And we would feel that this person, whoever they were, I was indebted at least in gratitude to that person. And so think about what it costs for our salvation. Jesus, it took the blood of Jesus, the sinless Son of God, to pay the price for our sins. What a great sacrifice was made. And I like to think about what it will be like in heaven. And in my mind, I think, I will never have enough words of praise to thank Jesus. I imagine myself when I first see him that I'll be completely speechless. What could I possibly say to Jesus for what he has done for me? And not only has he given me eternal life, not only do I have the assurance of my salvation and know that he is coming and that he's coming for you and for me, yet he also gives us so many blessings in this life besides. And so when I sing a song like "I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb," in my heart is this great sense that he is the best friend I could ever possibly have had. Before we sing the song, I'd like you to know that this is a 1973 Epiphone guitar. It's considered an antique now. But this is my .30-30 rifle. When I turned my life over to Jesus, my whole life changed. And I'm not against hunters, and I'm not saying that anybody should not hunt. I mean, if that's what you do, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But what I am saying is that Jesus called me to a different way of life. And I had that 30-30 rifle. It was Winchester 30-30, lever action, one of the old ones, you know. But I wasn't going to use it anymore. And I said, I need a guitar. So I sold that 30-30 rifle, and with some of the money, I purchased this guitar. And I think it was a good trade. And God has, this guitar has been with me to a lot of places, and it has blessed me. And I hope that you will be blessed as we sing this song that I think most of you know. And it's the first song that I ever played with this guitar. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed, and I know that I am. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved by grace, and I know that I am. All my sins are washed away, praise the Lord. My God is good, He's good to me. My God is good, He's good to me. My God is good, He's good to me. He took my sins and He set me free. All my sins are washed away, praise the Lord. And that's not all, there's more besides. And that's not all, there's more besides. And that's not all, there's more besides. I went to the river and I got baptized. All my sins are washed away, praise the Lord. All my sins are washed away, praise the Lord. I hope that you can say that in your heart. All my sins are washed away. I truly hope today, as you sit here and listen and participate, that you can say, I praise God that my sins are washed away, that my name is in the book of life, and that I know that my destiny is sure in Christ. It's such a peaceful thing to be able to say, I know that the Lord has loved me, He has redeemed me, He has saved me, and I am His child. And so we got a warm up a little earlier with Oh How I Love Jesus. So we're going to sing that song again here, Oh How I Love Jesus. Oh How I Love Jesus. This is one of the first ones I ever played as well, and it made a big impact in my life. A lot of these songs were new to me when I started to sing them, and what a blessing they were. So I'm glad to see you got your mandolin going there, Eric. Eric comes to us from North Carolina. He is one of the under-treasurers in the Washington Conference, and you are in the room there. If you go in the office in the Treasury Department, he's down the hall, last office on your right. And when I was still in there most of the time, I'd bring my guitar in there once in a while, and the ladies in the Treasury Department would stop and come out in the hall once in a while and listen to what we were doing in there. But he enjoys playing the mandolin, and I really am appreciating hearing you play your fiddle today, John. Thanks for being here today. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. Tells of think of everything that God has done for us, it causes us to love Him. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, if you'd like to look at that verse, it says that the love of God, the presence of Christ, His blessings to us, the goodness of God, leads us to repentance. You know, many times churches have been guilty of trying to cajole people into changing their behavior. And certainly, as a Christian, our lives should be different than the way people in the world live their lives. There's no question about that. But how will we get from point A to point B? What is God's plan? His plan is to be good to us, to shower us with blessings. Part of that goodness is to sometimes send us warnings. Sometimes it is to send us a blessing too big for us to receive, and our hearts overflow with joy. But His goodness, which is new every morning, seeks to draw us closer and closer to be with Him. This is a good old hymn, Blessed Jesus, Hold My Hand. It is a song that, how many of you are familiar with this song? Blessed Jesus, Hold My Hand. As I travel through this pilgrim line. Anybody know this one? Only a couple? All right, so I'll tell you what. We'll go through the first verse, and we'll go through it kind of slowly so you can catch on to the tune. It's pretty easy to catch on to. And then after that, we'll back up and we'll go through it again.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. He is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need Thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Okay, so we'll back up. Thanks, Ryan. We'll back up one more. We're going to do it again. So let's see if you can catch on to that.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. He is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need Thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus,
chorus.
Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by Thy power. Hear my feeble plea.
Slide. Here we go.
Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy, thine, and sing redemption song someday. I would be a soldier brave and true, and ever as I onward go and daily meet the foe. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by Thy power. When I kneel in prayer, I blessed Jesus, hold my hand. As I wander through the valley, in for the setting of the sun, lead me safely to the land of rest, if by a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may be.
So when we have Jesus and we've accepted Jesus as our Savior and we know that He is our Savior, what a peace we have. But then He holds our hand through life. He helps us get through the tough stuff that nothing else ever seems to work. He's able to hear our prayers and answer us exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And even though sometimes we pass through some difficult trials, yet He makes those trials easier to bear, because He is there with us. And when we go to Iraq or when we go to Australia, we know that God is with us and that He will help us and enable us to do what He has asked us to do. I really struggle at times. You may think maybe I just say that and it's not true, but it is true. I really struggle at times to know how to fully express what a good friend Jesus is to me. As I was coming here to church this morning and bringing some friends with me, we were talking about the place of prayer in our life. And I was expressing how that I just don't know how I could possibly have even begun to help my children in life if I had not been in prayer. So many times things came up that there just wasn't an answer for. Maybe it was a money thing. Maybe it was a boyfriend thing. Maybe it was a school thing. But there were so many things that happened in the lives of our children, and you just don't always have an answer. And so you get down on your knees and you talk to the dear Lord Jesus, and you tell Him all about it. And when you talk with Him and pray to Him, somehow in His miraculous way, as you seek to be faithful and do what He has asked you to do, He comes up with the answer. Yesterday I texted to a friend. They were having a bit of a crisis in their life, and the friend texted back and he said, this is what God did. He set it up like this. It happened like this. And it was miraculous, truly, how the Lord just provided everything that they needed right at the time that they needed it. And so I wrote a text back and I said, yep, God comes through again. Amazing. But He always does. He comes through. Sooner or later, He's there for us to help us with everything we need. I have found a friend in Jesus. He is everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, He's my comfort. In trouble, He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In Him my strong and mighty tower. I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart and mouth.
the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do His blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. His bounty my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Okay, well, once again, if you're going to have a banjo around, you better sing I'll Fly Away. But you know, when you accept the Lord as your Savior and you have His peace in your heart and He's helping you overcome, then heaven becomes a reality because you're beginning to experience the things of God right now. You see, eternal life is not just when He comes. Eternal life is right now. As we begin to have His peace and His help in our life, and we see our lives getting better in Christ, then the promises of God become even more real. And the reality of heaven becomes even more precious because we know that soon what we have experienced here will have its fullness when He comes. So some glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Have you ever stopped to think about how it's going to be when Jesus comes? Well, I think it's going to be fast. I said that to my Sabbath school class in a prayer meeting one night here. I said, I think it's going to be fast. One day at a church we were pastoring, a new film came out, and so we showed this film on a Saturday night, and it was about what an ordinary guy can do, and the film was called Ordinary Guy. And in the movie, this ordinary guy, he ministers to inner-city kids, and in the process of ministering to inner-city kids, he gets killed in gang fight, and then all the gangs come together because they all loved him, and they throw their guns in the grave and all that, and they decide to make peace because of their love for this man who had poured out his heart and love for them. It's a great film. But then, after all that's over, you see the graveyard, and the light begins to get brighter and brighter and brighter. And then pretty soon, you hear the sound of the trumpet, and then the grave bursts open, You know, you can do anything with computer graphics. Bursts open. And then ordinary guy goes shooting out of his grave, like just goes up like this. And in the back of the room, there was an elderly lady who was back there, and she started laughing, just laughing out loud. And people were kind of looking around, you know, what's she laughing about? You know, this was a dramatic conclusion to this film. And so afterwards, she comes up, and she's still chuckling, and she said, Pastor, it's not going to be like that. And I said, what? She said, how that grave just burst open, and he goes shooting out of there like he's some firecracker. She said, it's not going to be like that. I said, well, how do you know how it's going to be? And she said, well, it's not going to be like that. And I said, well, is it going to be like this? Is he kind of ooze out of the grave and put his fingertips up there and look out, and see if it's okay? I said, is it going to be like that? She said, no, it's not going to be like that. I said, well, personally, if I'm in the grave when Jesus comes, I want to get out of there as quick as I can, as fast as I said, so I'm okay with just shooting out of there like that. And so in my mind, I always think, you know, when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. Not going to be any of this kind of, you know, wispy stuff. We're just going to, All right, here we go. I'll fly away. Some glad morning when this life is over.
Fly away.
like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joys will never end. I'll fly away.
In the sweet by and by, I'd like to ask you all to stand. This will be our last song, and we'll be finished. After all, this is summer shorts. Our services, we try for the summer to keep them a little on the shorter side for lots of reasons, so that we can get out of the heat faster, get to wherever faster, and all of that. But I hope we get to heaven faster. There's a land that is fairer than day. And I lost a 7-year-old niece in a car accident. Sweet little girl. Looking forward to seeing her one of these days when Jesus comes. And my mother, and my father, and my brother, and my oldest sister, and some friends. A young man who died at the age of 30 suddenly from a heart attack. Slim and trim, healthy guy. He didn't know he had a congenital heart problem. He suddenly just fell over and passed away. I'm looking forward to seeing him soon when Jesus comes. He was a fine young man. 23-year-old Samoan friend of mine, Lee. I can't wait to see him. He was such a great guy and died tragically from an infectious disease that they couldn't get a hold of, couldn't get ahead of it. I'm glad that he trusted in Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I really, at this point in my life, I don't really care what home I have. It's got to be better than my apartment, whatever it is. If I can see Jesus, and I can see you, and if my wife is there, and if my children are there, and my grandchildren, then who cares about what I live in? I'll be happy to just be there. Like a good pastor friend of mine said as he was retiring many years ago, he said, Kevin, he said, the next chapter for me is heaven. And he said, when Jesus comes and we all get to heaven and we get to the city, and he says, if heaven is so full of people and they have to shut the gates really hard to get everybody in, and if I'm the last one in line, the least of all, and they have to shut the gates so hard that it leaves permanent marks in my back, he said, I will be so glad to be there.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall be. By and by, we shall meet on that.
us pray. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Dear Jesus, our precious Savior and friend, we love you from the depths of our heart. It is our desire to serve you and follow you. We ask you today to forgive us for all of our sins. You know every chapter in our life, and you know everything we've said or done, good or bad. And Lord, we ask you to forgive our record of sin, and that you will please keep our names in the book of life. And I want to raise my hand right now and say, Lord, that's my sincere prayer. Please keep my name in your book of life. I want to serve you and follow you and do what good I can until the day that you come. And Lord Jesus, we ask you to send us out of here today thinking of others and being willing to be a blessing to others, to be kind and good and patient and generous to everyone we can, so that when we have the opportunity to point someone to Jesus, we will not fail to do so. So Lord, help us live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Cause us, Lord, to be a reflection of you in this world, so that when people think of Seventh-day Adventists, they will think, those are people that really love Jesus. Those are people that really live what they believe. Those are people who are so kind and good and helpful in our community. Lord, may that be our reputation. We pray it for our sake, but mostly for your sake. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.